Amen. That was good. What a blessing. Appreciate that. Thank you. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We continue our, ended up being a series talking about the flesh. And what was going to be one sermon has become several sermons. Not sure we'll get finished tonight, but we'll just see what happens and just go through it. It's been very helpful to a lot of folks, and I've heard that anyway. And sad to say that I've been more aware of decisions people make, and first thing I think, it's the flesh. Some terrible decisions, very bad decisions people make. Young people, older people alike, and immediately just think of something maybe that had been said, something in my notes, something that had been preached about, and just immediately thought, you know, that's the flesh. That's not you speaking, that's the flesh speaking, and different things like that. And so I hope that it has been helpful, and we may get finished tonight, but I really don't know. But we've talked about the flesh, Romans 7, verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Father, bless now as we continue our study, our series really on the flesh. And I pray, God, that we'll see it for what it is and we'll realize that it is what we are, but it's certainly not what we're going to be. And Lord, help us to become victors over the flesh, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We started out several weeks ago talking about and giving a description of the flesh. The flesh, again, is simply our old nature, our old man, the Bible calls it. The flesh is what we were before we got saved. It's that old nature, that old sin nature, and we'll call it what it is, the flesh. It is actually one of our enemies. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, of course, is our enemy, the cosmos, that system that is against God, and therefore if we're saved, it's against us. And then, of course, the devil, we know he's our enemy. We know he's out to ruin our testimony. Praise God, he can't have your soul. He can't even have your joy unless you give it up. He can't take it from you. No man can take it from you, but he'd certainly like to do that, and he's doing it in a lot of instances where he's certainly, you know, having a part in people giving up their joy as a Christian. And of course, then our flesh is our enemy. Our flesh wants us to go back to the way we were before we got saved. It's our flesh that likes those old things that were wrong. It's our flesh that wants to go back to the thing that we felt guilty about when we sat in church and the preacher preached and we felt bad knowing that we were a sinner and realizing that we were lost and going to hell and saying, God, I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved. And God saved us, and then our flesh immediately starts trying to drag us back into that life. And so we've talked about a number one, we gave a description of the flesh, and of course the Bible gives very good description of the flesh and throughout the scripture. It is the motions of sins. It is no good. It is the law of sin. It is enmity with God. It is following the course of this world, disobedience, wrath, lust, desire. Made Paul say, "O wretched man that I am," when he realized what his flesh was. And then he gave a list of the flesh manifest in Galatians 5. Or the works of the flesh that are manifest. In other words, when our flesh is demonstrated outwardly, and then that long, long list that we went through, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, so on and so forth, and certainly right in there, envyings, sedition, strife, wrath, emulations. Again, those things all equal to, because they are part of the flesh every bit as much as murders, and drunkenness and revelings. Again, none of us are left out, because we all have flesh. We all have that old nature. And so we're none of us left out. None of us are immune from that, but praise God, one day we will be, amen, when we get to heaven. And so this is us. This is the description of our flesh. And again, as you look at that, you know, we would like to say, well, this is a description of his flesh. No, it's a description of my flesh. It's a description of your flesh. And we can't point fingers. We have to say that is what we are. And so the works of the flesh manifest. All you have to do is go to that list. Number two, we looked at the desire of the flesh. And that is called the lust of the flesh. And it is a desire. It is a craving. It is within us. It is, I must have whatever this sinful thing is. And it's different with all of us. I may want or desire something sinful that you think is really sinful. And I may think yours is really sinful. Again, the point is, in that list, that is our flesh. And it is something we want. It is something that appeals to our senses. We like it. All right? It's how we justify sin. It's how we justify the sins of others. You know, we just say, oh, well, I like that, so it's okay. You know, most of us would not say murder is okay. Although there are some that would say, well, in some instances, it's okay. And we justify that because of things we like or we dislike. But again, I remind you, and we covered this before, that this desire, this sensual activity, this appealing to our senses is right in there with being devilish and earthly or earthy, which is worldliness. And again, it is a desire. So that's where the battle really is. It's because this is stuff, these are things we like. Okay, if you gossip, you like to gossip. I mean, seriously, if you're angry all the time, you enjoy being angry. You ever been around somebody that just likes to fight all the time? They like being angry. They enjoy that. It is something they like. And so again, the battle is, you know, the Holy Spirit says that's wrong. The Bible shows us these things are wrong. And so God convicts us of this. And often we say, yeah, but I like it. And by the way, that's why there are so many churches today. And that's why, you know, so many people, honestly, they'll put up with just about anything in church because I like that. By the way, that is not a criteria for being a Bible church or a Bible preaching church, just because you like it or you dislike it. The criteria is it in line with the Word of God? Are they preaching and teaching the book, the truth of the Word of God? And the truth of the matter is, I mean, a person totally backslidden, you know, obviously they're not going to like old-fashioned preaching. They're not going to like hard preaching. And again, we've covered all that. So again, the desire of the flesh is the lust of the flesh, and it's the things we like that are wrong. And number three, we looked at demonstrations of the flesh and simply started going through the Bible and looking at examples in the Bible of those who were acting in their flesh. And we looked at Adam and Eve. We looked at Cain. We looked at Esau. And again, these are all pretty common stories in the Bible and associated with the flesh. Achan, associated with the flesh. Samson, his lust for women. David, who missed out on going to battle when he was supposed to go to battle because probably he was lazy. Maybe he wanted to do something else. He liked something else better, and so on and so forth. And it cost him greatly in his life. And of course, his flesh then, as he lusted after another woman. And Amnon, who lusted after his half sister Tamar, and another perfect example of the flesh. And then Peter, we talked about Ananias and Sapphira. We talked about Demas, Diotrephes. We talked about the Corinthian people. It is a carnal people. What's that mean? That means they are fleshly people. They were very much living after the flesh. And then last week we got into number four, the deceit of the flesh. And the Bible says, let no man deceive himself. How do you deceive yourself? Well, you listen to your flesh. Understand, your flesh is never going to tell the truth. Your flesh is going to say, you need this fun. You need this pleasure. Moses was able to overcome his flesh when he realized the pleasure of sin was only for a season, and he made the right choice to say, okay, phooey on the pleasure thing. It only lasts for a season. I'm going to take righteousness, and I'm going to go join my people, though that'll be affliction, but I'm going to get something that'll be far greater that will last into eternity. And your flesh is always going to deceive you. That's why I tell people all the time, whether you like it or not has nothing to do with it. Amen. Now, folks, on it. Let's forget Channel 40 for a little while. I know it's going to be hard on you. I mean, seriously, you're going to have to, because this is an old-fashioned Bible preaching preacher here. Okay? We cannot worry about whether we like something or we dislike something. I mean, honestly, there are some ouchies in life. There are some valleys in life. There are some stones that you're gonna trip and fall every now and then. I mean, there's some tough things going on. We cannot just live by what we like and what we don't like. You know, when God spoke to my heart about coaching basketball way back years ago at Temple Christian, I was a long-haired hippie, and the pastor said to me, "You're gonna have to get your hair cut." I didn't like that at all. And I wanted to whine, and I wanted to complain, and I did at first. And I said, wait a minute here. What kind of church is this that you would tell me that I've got to live up to this standard? And boy, I'm so glad I just listened to the Holy Spirit. Because my flesh didn't want to. And had there been more Burger King churches out there, who knows what kind of preacher I would have ended up being. It's scary to me just to think about that. You know, we'll let you just do whatever you want to do, man. You don't even have to be saved to coach our kids. I think it was Matt Binder told me there was an ad in the paper for somebody to, I won't mention the church, but one of the churches in town needed somebody to work with their youth. They put an ad in the paper. Honestly, I don't understand that. I just don't understand. We don't think that way. Some of you are starting to think that way, though. You better be careful, honestly. You better be careful. How you start to, because what happens is we deceive ourselves and we start listening to all this mumbo jumbo and garbage about, as long as you're sincere, as long as it feels good, as long as you like it, and as long as the crowds like it. Come on, did the crowds really like Jesus when they hung him on the cross? Did the crowds really like Peter when they crucified him? Did the crowds really like Paul when they threw stones at him? It's never been about whether people like it or not, and it's not that way in your life either. Now, I'm not saying there aren't things that we like. I'm not saying God doesn't give us the desires of our heart. I'm not saying. I'm just saying like, and I like it, and it feels good, isn't necessarily God's will. I mentioned this morning, the carousel of I'm in love with, you know, it's a carousel. I'm serious. I mean, and it's not just young people. It is. And pastor, this person, I'm in love with this person. And then next week they're in love with somebody else. And then next week, what if one of those weeks they marry the person they were in love with that week, and then they're in love with somebody else the next week? That's why you cannot listen to your flesh. That's why you've got to listen to God, and you've got to listen to godly counsel, because nobody wants you. I mean, honestly, people that love God and love you don't want you to mess up. They want you to make the right decision, not based on what I like or dislike, based on what is God's will for my life. So we deceive ourselves. And so we talked about this. One way we deceive ourselves is we focus on everybody else's flesh. And their desires, you know, in other words, well, I'm not as bad as them. Forget all that stuff, all right? Just you cannot, that has nothing to do with anything. Nothing. You might be the most backslidden person in your row, but you're not as backslidden as everybody in front of you, you know? And you know that. Listen to me. Hey, it has nothing to do with what anybody else is doing. It has everything to do, okay, you before God, me before God. God, am I living in the flesh, or am I doing what you want me to do? That's what matters. We deceive ourselves that way. We deceive ourselves because the pleasure of sin is a season. And we'll take 10 minutes of pleasure to ruin our lives. That's flesh. Esau is a good example of that. Galatians 6, the idea that Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Flesh says, you can sow this seed and reap good. You can sow sin and reap good. God says you can't. God says it's not possible. You know, I'm amazed. Honestly, we'll have young people that'll go up against authority, all right? And they will roll their eyes at authority, and they'll disrespect authority, and they'll disrespect mom and dad, they'll disrespect the pastor or a youth director, they'll disrespect the teacher, and they'll throw off all kinds of garbage and spew forth garbage out of their mouth and then try to talk spiritual. Listen to me, you gotta understand something. You are flesh, you are carnal, you are wicked, and you better get right with God. You're not gonna sow that garbage and somehow miraculously sprout out a godly Christian kid. It's not going to happen. You're not going to disrespect your parents. You're not going to disrespect your pastor. You're not going to disrespect the authorities God's put over you and expect everything to turn out good. It is not going to do it. It's not. It just cannot do it. And it's the same way in every area of our lives. You're not going to lie and it all turn out good. It just didn't. You're not going to steal from people and it turn out right. It isn't going to happen. It's not. You may have figured out a way to do your time card at work and cheat the company and somehow you say, well, I'll tithe on it. Listen to me. God is not going to let you do it. You are going to reap what you've sown, and it's sure, and the flesh lies. Oh, but it feels good. Oh, but I have more money. Oh, but I have more friends. Oh, this. Oh, that. It doesn't work. It never does. And then the fourth thing we looked at under the deceit of the flesh was, by the time we acknowledge the danger, we're hooked on it. That's where addictions come from. And we get hooked on it. And once you're hooked on something, you will be amazed how far you'll go. I mean, it is absolutely amazing how far somebody will go when they get hooked on it. Be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it immorality, it is absolutely, people say, I will never do that. Brother Johns, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, I'll never do that, and then they turn, I'd be a wealthy man today. I mean, over the years, I've had them sit across from me, I will never, okay, here's what I think, but I'm never going to do that. And I mean, it isn't that far, and they've slid down that slippery slope, and they're doing things they never thought they would. If you knew what I know tonight, you'd be on the altar tonight. You'd be weeping for people because of this thing right here. They get involved in something so far, the sky's the limit. Or should I say the bottom of the pit is the limit. And folks will go so far because they're hooked on it. And the flesh lies. But remember, folks, deep down we like stuff. Deep down, see, there's an old Doug Rogers. Well, yeah, you say, yeah, he's standing right here. No, no. There's old ways. That was my life, and I don't want anything to do with that life anymore. Boy, it pulls though, doesn't it? There's an old Larry Johns, isn't there? There's an old Barry Nixon, isn't there? And it pulls, and I don't even want to crack the door just a little bit open. I don't want to visit that area again because I know how easy it is to get sucked back into it. But the flesh will lie to you and say, just a little bit, it won't hurt. Just listen for a little while. Watch for a little while. Go to that site for a little while. Just chat with that person for a little while. And God, I believe, is screaming out, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The flesh is a deceiver. The deceit of the flesh. We go on to the fifth thing, and that is Pharaoh's pride. Here's the flesh. One more night with the frogs. I don't know how you can. Boy, that is illustrated so well. You're reading that story about the plague of the frogs, and I mean the Egyptians and Pharaoh. They are so sick of frogs. The frogs are everywhere. I mean Pharaoh goes to kiss his wife goodnight, and he puckers up, and there's a frog in his face. I mean, you know, the cook is trying to cook in the royal bakery, and the oven is full of frogs. And when the oven gets heated up, they start popping. I mean, there you go. And I'm just saying, they're tired of it. They're sick of it. Get rid of the frogs. Moses says, just tell me. I'll get rid of the frogs. And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. First time I read that, I could not believe it. I thought somebody ought to preach on that. Well, many have. And I found out a lot of people did preach on that. And the famous message, one more night with the frogs, because it ought to shock us to death. But that's Pharaoh's flesh. What was it? It was his pride. One more night, I'll roll over and I'll have a frog in my face. One more night, I'll get in the shower and there'll be frogs jumping all around. Come on, Pharaoh. Are you always that stupid? No, but I'm sick and tired of not getting my way. Wow. And you know, our flesh will always try to talk us into one more time. One more smoke. One more drink. Right? Yeah. One more visit to that site. Yeah. It's always, when did you finally get burnt the last time? It's always the last time, right? When did you get caught and you ended up in jail? Well, it was the last time. Yeah, you know which time it was? It was one more time. It always is. Always is. Yeah. It happens to couples. Yeah, pregnancies. What happened? Well, it was that one more time. She said, I thought I ended it, but well, it was one more time. Yeah, you know. Disease, was that one more time? Yeah, Pharaoh's pride. Your flesh always says one more, just one more, just one more time. Come on, you like it, you do. Yeah, you know, honestly, Christian, it'd be a good thing for you to admit some things tonight on an altar. God, I do like some of these things. I do like, I know the sin which doth so easily beset me. And God, you know what it is too. God, help me, protect me, keep me from it, please. Help me to be smart and help me never to say one more time. One more time. And of course, there is the lie of liberty. Galatians 5, go there real quick, Galatians 5. The lie of liberty. Galatians 5 says in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Praise God for that. Amen. But notice verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Notice that. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. The lie of liberty. I can, so I will, because I like. Truth of the matter is, I have no power over anybody. In fact, parents don't have power over what you think. Teachers don't have power over what you think. You control that. And honestly, I mean, I know stuff goes on. And for example, in our Christian school, stuff goes on all the time that is against the rules, and it's wrong. And pity the person that does it. But the truth is, you can get away with stuff. Did you know adults can get away with stuff? It's a lot easier now. You don't even have to go to another town now. You can get away with all kinds of things for a while. You know, it's time. And a lot of people will say, well, I'm free. I'm free to do whatever I want to do, so I will do whatever I want to do. But I want you to notice something about verse 13. It says, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, you are free, but God says to you, hey, do not use that freedom to entertain your flesh, because you will be in bondage again. Verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. But look what it says, be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Well, how would you get that way? By using your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. That's why the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's not a cop-out for you to just do whatever you want to do. I'm not persuaded. I hear that all the time. You know, somebody says, well, I just don't believe like you believe. I didn't ask you to believe what I believe. I would ask you to check what God says and believe what he believes. I wouldn't want you to be persuaded because I said so. I want you to be persuaded because God said so. And God says every man is to be persuaded. Yeah, we're not, that's not a cop-out. That is a protection for us so that we are persuaded that, hey, the flesh is bad. The flesh is going to get me in trouble. The flesh is going to entangle me in bondage. And I don't want that. I don't want that. And the flesh will lie to you. You're free. You can do whatever you want to do. You can't do whatever you want to do. You cannot do whatever you want to do. We cannot do whatever we want to do. We do have that choice, but there's a penalty. It's like I used to tell our kids when they were little, you know what? You can disobey mom and dad. You can do whatever you want to do. But here's the penalty when you do. By the way, that typically ended up being the paddle's going to be gotten out. Remember paddles? Wood things like that have a nice handle, good grip. Usually you drill holes in them to really get the point across. Time out. Anyway. Number five is a denial of the flesh. Denial of the flesh. What am I going to do, preacher? Well, it's very simple. It's like in basketball, we have deny when we play man-to-man defense. Sometimes we say you need to deny the guy the ball. What's that mean? That means get in front of him, put your hand in front of him, put your hand somewhere so that between him and the ball, and so that they won't throw the ball to him. We're denying him the pass. And, you know, it's very simple. Just don't let that guy get the ball. And I think about that when I think of denial of the flesh. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. What's that mean? That means deny them. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Romans 13, 14 says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for it. That means don't open the door a teeny bit. Don't even look through the peephole. Make no provision. None. Zero. Well, I'm curious. Forget it. Don't be curious. You already know what the flesh is. You already know what it does. God's already shown us. God's given us a whole list. You've seen the examples. Hey, every young person, you ought to just believe the preacher. Believe mom and dad. Believe those that are older. Just listen to what they say. Make no provision. No provision. Well, I think we can hold hands and we'll be all right. You won't be all right. You're making a provision for your flesh. You say, well, I'm not so wicked. Look, nobody's saying you're so wicked. I'm saying your flesh is wicked, and you cannot trust your flesh. And I don't know how many young ladies that, well, I know where to draw the line. Here's where you draw the line. He touches you, you take off your shoe, and you put it right between his eyes. That's where you draw the line right there, and you tell him ahead of time that's what's going to happen. Or you have a can of pepper spray, and he just starts talking about it, and you squirt him in the face. Tell him close his eyes real quick. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's old fashioned. Look, flesh is old fashioned. It's been around a while. And there's nobody, you're not going to be exempt if you open the door to your flesh. Here's what Joseph did. The Bible says, and I love it, he got him out. That's what Joseph did. Potiphar's wife comes after him. Hey, big boy. Bats her eyelids. I started to say her eyebrows. That's kind of weird. But she's oh, hey, big boy, you know, and the good man is away on a journey. It's just you and me, big boy. And he said, the Bible says he got him out. What's he doing? He's being smart. Well, he went to prison. Okay, he could have had his 10 minutes. Could have had his 10 minutes. Maybe had his 10 minutes again another time. 10 minutes again another time. But instead of just being accused of it, if he really did it, guess who's no longer on his side? Yeah. Prison wouldn't have been too good for Joseph when God's not on his side. It's amazing we don't read the end of the story. He got him out. By the way, he got him out means he didn't friend her on Facebook. He didn't say, let's go to the break room and talk a little bit. I'll counsel you about your problems with your husband. You guys are idiots. Honestly, you're going to counsel a woman about problems with her husband, and you think somehow because you are going to counsel her, you're going to help her. Buddy, I got news for you. She's setting you up for the kill. And it's going to be your head hanging on the wall. That's right. Amen. Oh, no. I've got it all figured out. You don't have anything figured out. You have, your flesh is kind of interested. Her flesh is kind of interested. And it is not going to be a good situation soon. Well, you say, my wife doesn't give me attention. More the reason, you better stay away from that other woman. And you better find out why your wife doesn't give you attention, big boy. Well, my husband's just not as sweet as this guy. Well, that guy hasn't paid all the bills you charged on the charge card either. You know, honestly, come on, folks. Come on. That junk in the factory, that junk at work, that junk on the internet, it's not real. It's not life. It's not how it really is. All he does is compliment me. He's never seen you in curlers, honey. Come on. It's so frustrating. But see, it's our flesh. It's our flesh. And we like that attention. That's why women, so many women, are dressing to attract men to them. They like that look. They like a guy to look twice. Amen. I'm talking about Christian women. You like it. What part of you likes it? Your flesh. That's all. It's just your flesh. Guys do the same thing, you know. A little flirting doesn't hurt anything. You're a married man. Why would you flirt? You're a married woman. Why would you flirt? Flirt with your wife. Flirt with your husband. Flirt with your spouse. Good night. Well, the fire's gone out. Well, flirt with them a little bit. Maybe you'll kindle the flame. It's amazing to me. If you go through as much effort to try to win back your husband as you do that guy at work, that you have no idea. He might be a wife beater. You don't know what he is. It just amazes me. It's like, you know, so deny the flesh. Tell the flesh, no flesh. I'm not going to do it. No, 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 no. I just started the church in Burn, Indiana. I tell this story because it just blew my mind. And the guy comes to me and says, I have a problem with dirty thoughts toward women. And he said, I'm really struggling with it. He said, you've been preaching about some of this stuff, and I've been at the altar, and I'm still having a hard time. He said, I lust after women, and it's really a problem. I said, well, you know, when is this the worst? And he said, well, it's when I go to Pine Lake. I said, when you go to Pine Lake? He said, yeah, you know, at the beach when the girls are in their bikinis. I said, ah. I said, I have a good solution for you. I have two options for you. I said, one, you could poke out your eyes and go to the beach. I said, two, don't go to the beach. We said, yeah, but it's fun. Now, you know, if you are a real man, and I know that's becoming blurred today, but if you're a real man, a woman in her bathing suit is, you're not going to just be able to think of godly things. Some husbands are just. That's because they're thinking now their wife's going to wonder why they have Sports Illustrated up on their internet site, and why they're looking at Sports Illustrated all the time during the month of February. My dad got me a subscription to Sports Illustrated years ago when I was in Bible college. He sent it to our house down in Pensacola, and I kind of enjoyed it. I'd read the sports every now and then. We didn't have a television. I was keeping up with sports and everything, and I'll never forget the day that the February issue came, and that was years ago. I'm talking about, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And I got home, and my wife said, here's your magazine. And it was three pages. it's like it was my fault. I didn't do anything. I didn't even know back then. And I said, wait a minute, what happened to all my articles? She said, don't even ask. She was hot. I mean, she was really upset. And praise the Lord. What a blessing. Job said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. That's how he dealt with it. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Matthew 5:29, look at it real quick. This is serious stuff. You say, oh, I've heard all this before. And anybody that would say, I've heard all this before, you're having a problem with it now. Matthew 5 and verse 29, and you like it. That's the problem. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. That's bad, isn't it? Cast it. Now, please don't do that. Okay? Get right with God first. Get rid of your television first. Your eye, you can't replace that, okay? But Jesus is saying, this is serious. He said, cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. This is serious stuff here. Matthew 18, verse 8. Same idea here. Matthew 18 and verse 8. I guess we're not going to get finished tonight. He says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Now, again, please, if you're touching the unclean thing, you're walking into the unclean place, and you know, before you cut off your hand, before you cut off your feet, how about getting on an altar and crying out to God Almighty to protect you and to help you have the character to get away from that stuff? Because I don't want you to cut off your hand or your feet. But God says that you'd be better off to cut them off than to ruin your life. 1 Corinthians 6. And verse 18. Flee fornication. Well, you know, it's all right as long as two people love each other. Christians say things like that. Are you listening to me? Christians say things like that. Flee fornication, God says. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Flee fornication. What is that? That is denying your flesh. Flee. Get away. Get as far away as you possibly can to any kind of immorality, which is a sexual relationship outside of marriage. Marriage is the only time those kind of things are to take place. Ever. Okay? So flee. Well, we're just holding hands. Flee fornication. Because there's a next step, and there's a next step. Better to make the next step a deep, 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 deep chasm. So if you take the next step, you go, oh, and you're far away from ruining your life. Better to break your body than to mess up like that. I'm just saying, get as far away as you can. That's why the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Because the touch, what's that do? That affects your flesh. Now, a guy, the eyes affects his flesh, but that woman, the touch. And you girls, you got it under control, don't you? No, you don't. Come on, you've watched them. They've sat right here in the pews, and now they've got 2-3 kids, no husband, life is a mess. I'm talking about at 15 years old, had a baby. Now, I love them. I want to help them, and I'm going to try to help them. But you know, some of you say, oh, that's so neat. There's nothing neat about it. It is a child brought forth because of flesh, and that's all. You know how you know that? Because there's no dad. Where'd he go? What's he doing? What about his responsibility? Hello. How sad. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 14, and I know, yours is different, right? Your guy, oh, my guy, he'll do what he's supposed to do. He'll take care of, yeah, I know, we've heard that all before. And he'll be exactly how Amnon was with Tamar. He said, I love you, and after he raped her, he said, I hate you. Why? Because it was all flesh. It was all flesh. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. You starting to like money too much? You starting to love money? God says, run away from it. Get away from it. Actually, in most of our cases, it's gotten away from us.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, flee idolatry. Get away from loving things more than you love God. Here's a good test for you. What do you do most in your life? What do you spend more time with God or more time with television? More time with God or more time with your hobby? What do you spend the most time with? Well, let's see. Church, yeah, that adds in. Prayer, that adds in. Bible reading, that adds in. Walking with God, that adds in. What do you spend the most time with? What do you love more? Usually what you spend time with is what you love. Except for jobs, necessarily. But by the way, don't let your job be an idol either. Flee idolatry. You know, any of those things can be. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. I'm going to close here real soon. Not finished. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Amen? Content. Content. Just to be content. Okay, I have food. I have clothes. Okay? You know, let us be content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Again, that's not Pastor Rogers drowning you. That's not your youth director drowning you. A teenager, that's not your parents drowning you. That's not, sir, that's not, you know, the church drowning you. That is your foolish and hurtful lusts which are going to drown you in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. Last verse, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, when flesh hangs around flesh, the result's typically going to be flesh. And we flee youthful lusts and we follow those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That person that you say, oh, they're just religious, that's who you ought to hang around with. Amen. I like Ed. Ed gave a testimony tonight in the men's prayer time and said that people are, he told him he wasn't listening to country and western anymore. By the way, that would help some of you too. But anyway, and they said, what are you, some kind of a holy roller? Amen. Glory to God. That's right. That's right. You know? What are you, Jesus freak? Praise God. You know? Amen. That's all right. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Because that's what God says. God says, I'm going to have to stay away from. By the way, you don't have to tell everybody else they're rotten, wicked, vile, and everything. Just get away. Get away. You know, Joseph didn't call the Potiphar's wife anything. He just got out. You stick around and talk to her enough, you're going to be in trouble. Just get out. Well, I wanted to go through the Romans road with it. Just get out. You know, sometimes you just have to get out. Well, I'm witnessing online to several women. Sir, once you witness online to several men, by the way, you don't know what they are you're witnessing to anyway. I'll tell you what, I got something better for you. Go to their door and see what they are. Amen. Oh, people are in trouble, folks. Honestly, you need to pray. You need to get out your prayer. You need to go over and just pray and pray and pray and pray. And you know why people get in trouble? Because of the flesh. The world, the flesh, the devil, I'm telling you, they are our enemies. Don't ever think that it's your friend. Your flesh will deceive you. It'll drag you into mess like you have never seen before. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us the Word of God, and telling us as we continue on, Lord, how to defeat the flesh. Help us tonight, Lord, to know that we need to deny our flesh. When our flesh pulls on us, we need to pull against it. We need to flee. We need to get away. We need to go. We need to avoid and abstain from any kind of entertainment of the flesh. Please, please give us victory. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand, please.